word of God given to us today is the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verses 4 to 17. Please turn to the page 1287 of the Old Testament if you have the Korean Bible. I will now read the word of God. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, so that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men who were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is it that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea, then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to the dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Amen. In March, we welcomed Reverend Lee after his one-month hiatus following his radiation treatment. Upon his return, Reverend Lee undertook various responsibilities, including delivering the Sunday message and church events for Lent and Easter. He became laid up with fatigue, and the prolongation of his condition led him to consult a physician last week. The physician gave his opinion that after 34 sessions of a 10-minute daily treatment, Reverend Lee had returned to work without giving his body enough time to rest, leaving it weak and with almost no immunity. The physician advised Reverend Lee to take at least 3 months of rest without any work, to focus on regaining his strength and immune system. At the 117th Standing Committee meeting held on May 8, we decided that Reverend Lee needed some time off to recover. As such, he will be returning in September to undertake official activities. Please pray for Reverend Lee and his recovery. I prepared 5 messages based on chapter 1 of Jonah, and today will be the last message from this chapter. Our church traditionally takes a phrase from the Bible for the sermon title. The past 4 messages were titled, "The Word of the Lord Came," "Flee from the Presence of the Lord," "What Do You Mean, You Sleeper?" and last week, "Pick Me Up and Hurl Me Into the Sea." Today our message is titled, "And the Lord Appointed a Great Fish." Jonah, who was leading a tranquil life as an advisor to King Jeroboam II, was given the order to go to Nineveh to preach the message of repentance and salvation. But Jonah decided to get on a ship to Tarshish instead, and while on board, he fell asleep in the inner part of the ship. The foreign captain and the mariners woke Jonah up, reprimanding him and asking, "What do you mean, you sleeper?" Jonah then told them his story. When the tempest only grew worse, Jonah told them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea." Jonah was thrown into the sea, and the Lord sent a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah stayed inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. This is the story of chapter 1. Although the chapter can be interpreted by various themes, the most important theme throughout the chapter is life and death, or death and life. Jonah was given the word to go to the people of Nineveh who were at the crossroads of life or death. When met with a tempest while at sea, the foreign mariners and passengers experienced the wrecking and sinking of their ship that would decide their life or death. In the midst of this turbulence and danger lies the question of life or death for Jonah himself. A lot of thoughts have crossed the minds of Koreans since the tragedy of the Sewol ferry. Numerous news articles were published analyzing the incident, covering various themes such as our disaster response system, safety-related accidents, crisis management manual, roles and responsibilities. But the biggest and most important theme is that of life and death and life beyond. Tragic deaths, the anguish of those who have lost their beloved ones, the mental scars that the survivors must deal with. Some even see a collective depression having set over the entire society, and that this depression will continue for some time being. The problem of life and death is one that all humans must go through. It is an essential part of the human experience, and sooner or later we realize that it is not someone else's problem, but our own. God, who is absolute, has taught us the path of eternal life and resurrection. Although we as finite beings cannot fathom His deep ways, we live in the faith that He is with us in our moments of pain and that He is comforting us and holding us. Religion deals with the human problem of life and death. With the dawning of the Enlightenment and the development of natural science in the 18th century, and the dawning of the space development era in the 20th century, many scholars predicted that the rapid progress of modern science meant that religion would soon disappear, that it would become obsolete. But with all the cutting-edge level of science and technology today, what has really happened to religion around the world? According to a 2014 report by GMI, based in Colorado Springs, an international team of evangelical research, the church has not grown smaller around the world, and the number of people who have turned to religion has actually increased immensely. Statistic data on world religion show that the number of people professing to practice religion has grown significantly in the 20th century and is still growing steadily into the 21st century. A UN report and various academic papers also predict that the population turning to religion will grow in the next two decades. Christianity, our religion, had mainly been restricted to the European continent until the 17th century. Today, Christians who believe in God's church and in God, including the Catholic Church, account for one-third of the entire population, or 2.23 billion people. Christianity's share of the global population stands at 32.3% and is growing 1.2% every year. Although people talk about the decline of Christianity in Europe, Christianity has grown strong in Asia, Africa, and South America, which are home to 60% of all Christians in the world. There are more non-Western Christians than Western Christians in the world today. The major religions of the world, Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, and Hinduism, all have numerous references to miracles and signs and acts of faith. With the rapid development of modern science today, the fact that more and more people are turning to religion that requires a belief in miraculous events testifies that as humans, we still all face problems that go beyond life, the inevitable problems related to life and death. Jonah, who thought ignoring God's call was a breeze, soon found himself in a heavy tempest and facing enormous waves. Verse 4 of Jonah chapter 1 says, "But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea." The scene is described in rather mild terms, but the Hebrew words that were originally used tell a much fiercer story. The original word is hetil, which means to pitch over or reel, to be shot like an arrow. This verb is used to describe how weapons such as swords and spears are launched. The expression that wind was hurled only appears in Jonah chapter 1. Indicating that it was chosen purposefully by Jonah. The word hurl, meaning to pitch over, was used four times consecutively in the book of Jonah. In verse 5, the same verb is used to describe the mariners' action when they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. In verse 12, Jonah also uses the same word when he tells them to pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Finally, the word is used again in verse 15 when the mariners do pick Jonah and hurl him into the sea. The tempest that God intentionally hurled upon the sea with a purpose is followed by a series of hurling. The tempest that Jonah met at sea might seem like a natural phenomenon on the surface, but it is in its core a spiritual phenomenon led by God. So many times in our lives, we are met with incidents and events that are hard to understand or interpret. Try as we might, there are some things we cannot understand and some things that we just cannot overcome on our own. That is when we need to discern the spiritual, to read God's plan behind it all. But too often, we've become too used to the practices and logic of the world and too dependent on our own judgment and experience. Like a car GPS navigation system, we automatically judge and decide our own paths without asking about God's will or providence. How do we expect to find God's will that is imminent in a particular event if we don't have the time or will to maintain a spiritual dialogue with Him? With the turn of events, Jonah begins to realize what God's will is. God has hurled a great wind. God had woken him up from his deep sleep. God had made the lot fall on him when they cast lots. God had made the sea grow more and more tempestuous. Jonah realizes all this had been planned by God and that it is a new message from God for him for trying to flee from the presence of God. He honestly confesses that he is the cause of the tempest. But because he is at a loss of what to do, he gives up on himself and tells the mariners to pick him up and hurl him into the sea. The mariners pray to God before tossing Jonah overboard. Verse 14 goes, "Therefore they called out to the Lord, 'O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and let us lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you.'" Jonah is hurled into the sea and swept by the waves. He's probably swallowed a lot of seawater and feeling faint when a great fish appears and swallows him. The great fish was not there by coincidence. The Lord had appointed the great fish to save Jonah. A lot of people zoom in on the great fish and the fact that Jonah was in the belly, but few seem to focus on the fact that it was God who appointed the great fish. The Bible clearly tells us that the Lord appointed a great fish, meaning that he had prepared it beforehand. The Hebrew word for appointed is wayeman. The word originated from mana, which means to count or to number. The word is used in the active form here, which turns it into to designate or to appoint. So the great fish was designated and prepared in order to save Jonah. The fish that God had prepared was a great fish. There are various theories about what kind of fish it might have been. Traditionally, the fish was thought to be a whale, but a theory that's gaining support in recent years is that it could have been a shark, possibly a great white shark. The Septuagint, the principal Greek version of the Old Testament translated by 70 scholars, translate the word into sea monster. There is a separate word for whale in Hebrew, but the Bible only says a great fish. Not much is said about the fish.
Mm-hmm.
The reason not much is said, we could take that as a hint that we don't need to be too worked up about finding the identity of the fish. Jonah was floundering witless at the sea when he met the fish. It is little wonder that he didn't pause and check to see if it was a whale, a monster, or a shark that was swallowing him. Jonah wanted the people reading his story to pay attention to what God was doing and not what the fish was. What Jonah wanted to emphasize was not the fish that swallowed him, but the fact that this fish had been sent by God to the right place and the right time to save him. Let's read verse 17. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Jonah was in the fish for 3 days and three nights. He could have just said 3 days and it would have meant the same thing. But the writer wants to emphasize that time went painfully slow for Jonah and that he barely slept even at night. When you are in pain, it seems that the time has stopped. All noise and chatter is suddenly silenced, and everything feels desolate. You can't hear what others are saying. All those matters that seemed complicated suddenly become clear-cut. When you become laid bare, the situation becomes clear. Jonah turned a turning point in his life. The belly of a fish isn't the most ideal place for a person to spend 3 days, but it became an ideal place to discover God's will and to learn of God's heart. One thing we can learn here is that when God gives a calling to a person, He does not give up on that person or let that person perish until the calling is accomplished. The reason I am alive and breathing today means that God's calling for me is still unfinished, and that along with that calling, God's protection and comfort will be with me. When Daniel was thrown into a den of lions for keeping his faith, God gave him special protection. When Paul stood trial before the Roman governor and faced the threat of death for preaching the gospel, God saved him from the political turmoil. God saved him from threats against his life. Are you going through tribulation and experiencing a tempest in your life? We don't know what form it will take on, but we believe that there is a great fish of our own that God has appointed for us. God has already prepared it for us. In fact, when the waves of trouble pass by, we will see that God made all things work together for our good. Romans 8:24-28. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we await for it with patience. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. I first heard Reverend Lee's sermon series titled A Person with Vision in 2001 when I was 41 years old. The sermon was originally given at a Bible class at the Presbyterian University and Theological Seminary. At the time, I was at the mission field and I was feeling lost spiritually. A fellow pastor had given me a cassette tape of the four sermon series. Upon hearing the sermons, I was able to renew my direction and my attitude in my mission. I listened to that tape so many times it became worn out. I bought another one and then another one. I bought several more to give out to fellow ministry workers. We even discussed what we had heard in the tape. I accepted the lessons from the story of Joseph as told by Reverend Lee in his A Person with a Vision sermon. I accepted them as my life lessons, and I am still trying to live up to those lessons today. Joseph was appointed by God to govern the foreign land of Egypt. Some people take this as a sign that we too must dream big and have grand plans. But what's actually more important is not my dream, but God's dream. It's not my plan, but God's plan that must be accomplished. So, how can we tell what God's will is? We don't know where and when God's plan will take us, and that means we need to be faithful in the here and now. It was never Joseph's dream to become the governor of Egypt and to rule over it. Joseph didn't know God's plan for himself. All he did was be faithful in the duties that were given to him and obey to the best of his abilities. God, in turn, prepared Potiphar, the captain of the palace guard, for Joseph. Sold as a slave, Joseph didn't know how to speak the local language when he first arrived at Potiphar's household. It must have cost him a lot of time and scolding to finally get his work done right. But Joseph just kept on doing his work and going the extra mile. And finally, Joseph became the most important servant in the household. To the Hebrew slave Joseph, Potiphar was a great fish appointed by God to save him. Genesis 39:4 says, "So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all he had." From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. As you know, Joseph did his best and worked hard, but instead of being rewarded, he ended up being sent to prison. Most of us would have reacted with anger, despair, depression, and give up trying. But Joseph continued to live a faithful life in prison. God prepared the keeper of the prison where the king's prisoners were confined for Joseph. Genesis 39, verses 20 to 23 says, "He was there in prison, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Joseph became trained in managing a budget and a household in general, living as a slave at the house of the captain's guard, at the captain of guards. He became trained in politics and human resources at the prison for the king's prisoners. When a social and political crisis hit Egypt, Joseph, the man prepared by God, became the worker who accomplished God's will. When Joseph was appointed as governor of Egypt, it was God who prepared the king's cupbearer. Through it all, Joseph survived numerous close calls with death because God protected him. When his brothers tried to kill him and threw him into a pit with no water in it, the caravan of Ishmaelites passing by were like the great fish that was appointed by God for Joseph. The life of a slave was worth nothing in ancient Egypt. When Joseph was accused of trying to rape his master's wife, he was all but dead. But God prepared a keeper of the prison to protect him, and thus God's plan and providence was accomplished. It is only later, when his brothers visit him, that Joseph understands God's plan for his family. In Genesis 45:7, Joseph confesses, "And God sent me before you to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me ruler over all the land of Egypt." It was not Joseph, but God who did it. It was God who had prepared it all beforehand. At every turn of life, Joseph had a great fish prepared by God. That God today works and prepares beforehand for us as well. Jonah was the opposite of Joseph. He was totally unprepared. He was born into an easy life of faith and grew up to become the king's advisor. He was proud, fickle, and opinionated. He even stood up to God and refused to budge. But God shows us that He, in His absolute authority, can make even an unprepared servant surrender and serve His will. We too are not perfectly prepared. But God will call us despite our shortcomings, train us, and let us serve His will. Our church's motto for this year is God who goes before us. It has been more than 4 months since the new year began. Are you still living in every day in awareness of the guiding hands of God who goes before you and prepares the way for you every day? Are you continuing on in thanksgiving and in faith? Deuteronomy 1, verses 30 to 33. Let's all look it up in our Bible. This message is God's word for our church this year. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 30 to 33. The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight for you, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness, where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you, as a man carries his son, all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet, in spite of this word, you did not believe the Lord your God, who went before you in the way to seek you out a place to pitch your tents, in fire by night and in the cloud by day, to show you by what way you should go. Amen. The Lord who appointed a great fish for Jonah is the God who goes ahead of us, identifies every single thing that we need, and prepares what we need to the dot of an I. Let us believe in the love of our Lord and in that He will guide us in the good way, and let us be faithful in the work that is given unto us, living in His providence and His protection. Let us pray. Father, you who appointed a great fish for Jonah when he was hurled into the sea, we who are living today are also being hurled around by violent waves and tempestuous winds. We trust that you have appointed a great fish for us. Grant us peace and lead us in the path of righteousness. We entrust our life and our death in your hands. Help us live out our days in thanksgiving with the hope of eternal life. Help us not to forget our calling and to be faithful with the work that has been given unto us. Help us to trust in the God who goes ahead and prepares our path and to walk together with you in joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.